The rising cost of oil could make the road to economic recovery a little slick.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. You may have noticed at the gas station the price keeps going up. But here we are with a global recovery trying to take hold, and the increasing price of oil could send that recovery into a tailspin. That's the warning this week from the chief economist over at the International Energy Agency. Fatih Birol says, around the world, higher oil prices mean people will be spending more money on gasoline and less on everything else. Mr. Birol, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, too. Thank you.
We've seen higher oil prices before, though, and the economy seemed to, at that time, years ago, seemed to be just steamrolling along. Why are we concerned now?
I mean, the last time we saw this level of prices was in the year 2008. And, of course, the oil prices were not the primary driver of the financial crisis, but they did play a key role in the run-up to the financial crisis by reducing the business and households' income.
This seems sort of like a vicious cycle, then. Economic recovery that's demanding more oil, and then that sends the prices up. Are you saying that maybe this is a catch-22, that this could just keep happening over and over?
The age of cheap oil is over, especially if the major consuming nations, such as the United States and China, do not move from an oil-based mobility transportation system to an alternative one.
Do you have any predictions on where we could see, say, a year from now? Where will oil prices be?
By law, I cannot make any forecast, but I hope we do not see the levels that we saw in 2008, because the demand is expected to be very strong. And if the producing countries do not respond by increasing their production, this may well mean higher prices than we have now.
Fatih Birol, chief economist at the International Energy Agency, joining us this morning. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
In this country, Republicans take control of the House of Representatives today. And with that, California Congressman Daryl Issa takes the chair of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Issa is calling for investigations into what he labels government hyper-regulation. From Washington, here's Marketplace's David Gura.
Congressman Issa says he wants to hold dozens of hearings this year. He's listed several targets: the FDA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac, the commission that investigated the financial crisis, the Defense Department, and the Obama administration. Republican Tom Davis says that's the chairman's prerogative.
You have broad oversight almost over everything.
Davis led the committee for 4 years when George W. Bush was president. He got some criticism for not holding enough investigations. He says ISA wants to focus on spending and regulations.
Business will like these investigations for the most part, because I think what they're going after is looking at rules and regulations that are hampering businesses' authority to expand and create jobs.
After the midterm elections, ISA expanded his committee's agenda. Critics argue it's too ambitious and too political.
There's clearly a more aggressive oversight that takes place when the committee is run by a chairman of one party and the administration is held by the other party.
Jim Gottlieb was on the committee staff for 10 years.
There clearly is a difference in at least the tone of oversight.
Tom Davis says ISA has to be aware of that, and he may have to exercise some restraint.
You have to pick and choose, I think, your subjects pretty carefully, and you want to be pretty even-handed in the way it's presented.
He says a big audience outside a House hearing room will be paying attention.
The public eventually decides if it's a political witch hunt or if this is worthwhile.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are lower at the moment, about 1%. That's despite news of an 11% jump in U.S. auto sales last year, the best showing since the recession. MasterCard advisor Spending Pulse said holiday shopping was robust in December. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 20 points to close at 11,691.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. and by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Step inside one of those big blue IKEA stores, and you're sure to find just about anything for the house, except common incandescent light bulbs. IKEA's not selling them anymore, and Marketplace's Eve Tro tried to find out what that means for her IKEA desk lamp.
Can I still buy a bulb for my Yinka lamp at IKEA?
The answer from IKEA Online, sorry, we are unable to locate this item. Seems Yinka's gone the way of the dodo. Not surprising, says Kevin Turf with Enviromedia Marketing, IKEA would quit selling old lamps as it's phased out old bulbs.
It may mean leaving some of their own products behind, but it also presents new sales opportunities.
And he says IKEA's getting ahead of regulation. Many countries have banned incandescent bulbs, and the U.S. will start phasing out the most inefficient ones next year. Kateri Callahan with the Alliance to Save Energy says Americans are buying more efficient bulbs on their own to save on power bills. She expects more announcements like IKEA's.
You're simply going to see a quicker transition because we're going to be getting the junk, if you will, out of the marketplace.
As for my junk, IKEA finally determined it does not have a halogen, CFL, or LED light for the Yinka. But I could buy a new desk lamp called Snoig. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, the country of Lithuania hopes you're going to buy into their new official scent. The government worked with a French perfume company to bottle the essence of the former Soviet state. The foreign ministry has been sending out the new perfume bottles by the caseload to allies, to Lithuanian troops in Afghanistan. Officials say the fragrance embodies the wood-burning scent of sandalwood, cedar, and musk associated with regional pagan rituals. The new national perfume is called simply Lithuania. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Here in the United States, millions of people are desperate to find a job. Germany has quite the opposite problem.
Zum einen mal gelingt es uns nicht mehr kurzzeitig.
We can't fill the open positions that we have quickly. Sometimes it takes months, so we can't grow as fast as we would like to.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, getting the right workers for the right jobs in Deutschland. Also, the numbers from Wall Street. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.